calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
Bullshit is everywhere, isn't it? We're buried in it. The bullshit factories spew it 24/7. The government, corporations, religions, politicians, schools, the internet, Hollywood, social media, and let's not forget the asshole next door or down the street or at the office. There's just no escape. For over 2 years, this show has been fighting bullshit at every turn. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing that Gunkata stuff from that movie Equilibrium. There's no way to possibly suppress the bullshit barrage. There's just too much. A few days ago, I found myself in a town that was built by bullshit. No, not Los Angeles, that's where I live. And it's really not all that bullshitty. I mean, the people are full of shit, but they do actually make something. You can hold a DVD of a movie in your hand or watch it or whatever. No, this town that I was in gets over 4 million visitors a year, and most of them are there because they love bullshit. They want to bathe in it, to feel it wash over their bodies and float their brains like inner tubes on a lazy river. I'm not making this up. Where is this town? What's its name? I'll tell you in a little bit, so stay with me. Now, if you think about it, most towns and cities are founded on something, usually something real and tangible. Maybe somebody famous was born or lived there. Maybe there was a memorable battle fought there, like Gettysburg. Maybe it was an extension of the homes of the settlers, right? New York, New Orleans, and so on. Some places become big when somebody strikes gold, or maybe the logging is good, or the fishing, like, Radium, Texas, or Mercury, Nevada. Then there are places famed for dubious events. Roswell, New Mexico, for instance. Lots of people believe an alien spacecraft crash-landed there in 1947, and it was all hushed up by the government. And little green cadavers were put on ice, and everything from iPhones to fidget spinners have been reverse-engineered from that spacecraft. I read a very convincing article in a magazine that explained the whole thing, how a weather balloon came to be mistaken for a flying saucer. I don't believe aliens crashed in Roswell, but I don't doubt that somewhere in this infinite universe are other intelligent beings. With more stars in the sky than grains of sand on all the beaches on Earth, you'd have to be pretty conceited to think we're alone. And all those other spinning balls are unoccupied real estate. But people do still believe that aliens crashed in Roswell. And a hell of a lot of tourists visit there, fueled by high-octane hopes. Of what, I wonder? That they'll wander around and trip on a hubcap from that flying saucer? Loch Ness is another big tourist destination. Ever since somebody claimed they saw a monster paddling around there in 1933, some kilted kook shot some super grainy and blurry black and white footage. Since then, everyone's looked for Nessie, but nobody's found the monster. Believers could say it died long ago and its bones are somewhere on the bottom. The American answer to the Loch Ness Monster is Bigfoot, another nutty story about some ape man dwelling in the forests of the Pacific Northwest. That hoax spawned an industry that's thrown off many tens of millions. Bigfoot costumes, coffee mugs, shot glasses, tours, expeditions, and so on. The guys that fabricated the story are dead, and one of them gave a deathbed confession. They rigged the whole fucking thing. They got an ape suit and a movie camera, faked some footprints, and so on. But the truth is not what people want to hear, is it? Loads and loads of believers still cling to the Bigfoot myth. People love bullshit. Now, some towns can get their fame from anything, like Winslow, Arizona. That was a tiny dot on the map until it was mentioned in an Eagles song from 1972. The song never even broke the top 10. It's fucking weird to walk around there. Every other souvenir store plays the same song all day long. After 10 minutes, I was losing my mind. But there are plenty of hotels and motels in Winslow. Some can't get enough of whatever it is that place offers. There's a tiny town in New Mexico called Truth or Consequences. Original name, Hot Springs. In 1950, there was a big-time radio show called Truth or Consequences, and the host said he'd broadcast the show from the first town that renamed itself Truth or Consequences. As goofy as that is, the town stood for something real. The place I just returned from is Sedona, Arizona, known for its energy vortexes, or to be correct, vortices. 4 or 5 million people flock there each year to take advantage of all those spiraling energy thingies have to offer. What is a vortex? Well, when your sink or bathtub drains, that's a vortex. So's the crapper. I've been enjoying those vortices all my life. I think I need to back up a little here. Sedona is undeniably stunning. Miles and miles of these crazy, enormous rock formations. And what makes them so damn fascinating is their red color and completely random shapes. Some are flat as a billiard table. Others look like salt shakers. Some look like church bells or coffee pots or lizard heads. There is no symmetry. It's very odd. As the day goes on and the angle of sunlight changes, so does their color. They really are mesmerizing. You can hike all over the things. There's no admission charges or velvet ropes. The place was first settled by some homesteader from Missouri named T.C. Schneebly. Luckily, the town was named after his wife. It wasn't Schneebly the nerd guy from School of Rock? So it was just a really beautiful place to visit. A mini Grand Canyon, but bizarre because of the irregular shapes. And that's all Sedona was. Just a tiny town in the middle of nowhere with good weather and stunning views. But that describes a lot of Arizona. They've shot a ton of movies there, mostly old westerns. I've not seen too many, but the one I'd recommend most highly is called Johnny Guitar. It's like watching a movie written by some guys on LSD. Just listen to chunks from the trailer.
This story of a woman who lived and loved too hard and wanted too much.
Down there I sell whiskey and cards. All you can buy up these stairs is a bullet in the head. Now which do you want?
Starring Joan Crawford, the screen's most dynamic artist. Sterling Hayden as Johnny Guitar. And Scott Brady as the dancing kid.
All my life, all I ever had to do was touch a woman. She melts like butter.
The dialogue is fucking surreal. A little sidebar. One of the greatest bluesmen who ever lived, Johnny Guitar Watson, took his name from that nutty movie. Johnny used to live near me in L.A. I'd see him cruising around in his Stutz Blackhawk, just as slick and cool as a can of greased Freon. Johnny croaked on stage playing a show in Yokohama. Always said he wanted to go that way. Check out his song, 3 Hours Past Midnight. The guy was great. So in the 1980s, this self-proclaimed psychic counselor, Paige Bryant, said that her spirit guide, named Albion, introduced her to the vortices around the rocks. She wrote a book about these experiences, and pretty soon, Sedona was on the map and in the middle of a shitstorm. Every Bigfoot and Roswell and Loch Ness nut descended on the town by the plane, train, and carload. There was a critical date by which they all had to be there. August 16 and 17, 1987, when all the planets would be aligned just so. And if everyone chanted and meditated and linked arms and swayed and sang Kumbaya, peace would reign over the Earth for 1,000 years. As the magical date grew near, Sedona became less and less peaceful. The park rangers were pissed off at the influx of granola heads who were littering and building medicine wheels out of lava rocks. Some were 200 feet in diameter. The nutballs were building them faster than the rangers could take them apart. As one ranger said, the Sedona rocks were for everyone, and having New Age ninnies build their medicine wheels was no different than somebody spray-painting a rock with a Star of David or Jesus Saves. When they weren't building their medicine wheels, they were rubbing stone-aged art from inside the caves. I'll post a video of some chick doing a medicine wheel ceremony on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. You can be amazed for yourself. Next, some other psychic accused Paige Bryant of ripping him off. He was a hypnotist and a psychic trainer from where else? Malibu. And he said he'd been grooving on those vortices for years, way before Paige, and he had led others to bask in their rejuvenating vibes. Next, the Indians got involved. They said those rocks were theirs first, and people were free to admire them, but not mess around with them. So they were pissed off. Then, the preachers stuck their holy noses in. Old-school Christian ministers said the New Agers were POWs in Satan's camp. The more liberal parsons had a live-and-let-live attitude, but pretty soon, all 27 churches in town were tearing at each other's clerical collars. Finally, the big event arrived. August 16 and 17, it was called by then the Harmonic Convergence. By now, the New Agers had pinpointed lots of vortices, from Egypt's pyramids to Stonehenge to Machu Picchu, plains of Nazca, the things were popping up like crabgrass. The planets had lined up straight as a laser, shooting their healing gravitational forces through the cosmic winds straight at Mother Earth, Gaia. In Sedona, everyone sat cross-legged, linking arms, chanting. They closed their eyes and sang Kumbaya. And then, incredibly, as if by magic, not a fucking thing happened. Somebody must have fucked up. Somebody must have farted or stared at the tits on the pointy chick across the medicine wheel or maybe thought the wrong damn thoughts. Thoughts of lust or larceny or violence and vengeance instead of warm and fuzzy thoughts. What son of a bitch had done this? Who could be such a selfish prick? Not only did the Sedona New Age Harmonic Convergers not vibrate the planet into a millennium of peace, wars broke out in Sri Lanka, Mozambique, Eritrea, and Iran and Iraq continued to shell and gas the shit out of each other. There were riots in Atlanta and even peaceful Tibet. All that meditating, all those medicine wheels, all that chanting, all that bullshit. I've been to Sedona a few times. I had heard all the vortex stuff, but never really looked into it until this visit last week. 500 miles from L.A. to Sedona with La Familia in the fun wagon. I even dug out the CB radio and had a ball screwing around with the truckers for a lot of the ride. Beats the shit out of social media. Knowing I'd be doing this show, I did some investigation on your behalf. I dragged myself and the wife and kids to one of the most powerful vortices. We visited late in the afternoon, when they are supposedly strongest. All around were those weird juniper trees with the twisted trunks, which the New Agers claim are twisted by the vortex. They never mention that those trees grow with twisted trunks wherever the fuck they do grow. It's just in their DNA. We hiked in from the main road and sat there in the lotus position, and we closed our eyes and breathed deeply. There would be no chanting or arm-linking or kumbaya singing. That's commie shit, and we don't do that for anyone. After a few minutes, with our minds cleared of all distractions or extraneous thought, fully receptive to the vibrational energies, we opened our eyes, and my daughter said,
"It's bullshit."
So what really sets Sedona apart from other quirky places and makes it the town that bullshit built is that the mother of this vortex horseshit, Paige Bryant, eventually moved to North Carolina. And she wasn't there very long until she found more vortices. Can you imagine? What were the odds? I'm not sure if she even needed her spirit buddy, Albion, to locate them. So right there in Asheville, North Carolina, you can get everything you can get in Sedona. You can get your energy balanced. How do they do that? Well, they rearrange your chakras using sound or Reiki massage. You walk into an energy balancing center feeling like 8 cents worth of hammered shit, and 45 minutes later you walk out $100 lighter, feeling like the chump of the month. Or not. I'm just guessing. Maybe it's real. If there are any chakra adjusters or Reiki people listening, get at me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to check out your services. If you balance my energy and make me feel great, I'll tell the world. Maybe it's not our energy that's imbalanced. Might be our fucked up auras. How do you fix that? Well, first, you need a picture of it. I mean, there are lots of people in Sedona and Asheville and L.A. who can see your aura, but how the hell do you see your own? With aura photography, that's how. Because auras are, they're a little like vampires. They don't show up in a mirror. So, you go to the aura photography studio, and in just a few minutes, you will have an image of your silhouetted skull with beams of light shooting out of it, just like St. Blaze or Dr. Fibes. Next, your aura photograph must be interpreted. Now, according to a color key, red people are joyful. Orange auras connote happy and creative moods. Disciplined folks turn up yellow. Green is the color of healing. Sensitive and solitary individuals are blue. Violet means you're relaxed. And spiritual people glow white. If you cast no aura, you're already dead, or your skull is made of lead. On my other trips to Sedona a few years back, there was a lot of UFO shit. Jeep tours to UFO landing sites and boutiques that sold the same crap they retail at Roswell. This time, I didn't see any. I guess UFO shtick wasn't selling. Or maybe some Roswell guys stopped by and told Sedona to knock it off. Stick with their vortices and leave the little gray men to them. Sedona got a big black eye in 2009 when author/motivational speaker/spiritual warrior/Tony Robbins wannabe, James Arthur Ray, was running a Spirit Warrior Vision Quest. The 21 questers paid $10,000 each to fast in the open desert for a few days with nothing but a sleeping bag. Well, that's not correct. They had the option to purchase Peruvian ponchos from James Arthur Ray for an additional $250. So, after the fast, everybody piled into the sweat lodge to open their pores and their minds and figure out who they're supposed to be. Three of them got to take the ultimate spiritual journey. They got dead. Baked, like russet potatoes. Another 18 were hospitalized with kidney failure, dehydration, and burns. Ray went to jail for a couple of years, and the 18 survivors sued him for millions. What a bunch of ingrates. They wanted a vision quest, and they got exactly that. They paid him 10 grand so they could know themselves better. And after that near-death experience, which of them could not look in a mirror and know with complete certainty that they were a fucking idiot? But nothing's changed in Sedona. Plenty of sweat lodges are still in operation. People with perfectly good legs walking on flat trails with ski poles or gnarly walking sticks like the old man in the mountain. Medicine wheels all over the place. Aura photography parlors. Energy balancing centers out the ass. Crystal healers. You have to love that one.
Here, rub this hunk of glass on that tumor and call me in the morning.
Dozens of shamans offer mystic tours.
Embark on your sacred journey into the beauty and power of the Sedona Red Rock Country and Vortex Power Spots. Experience shamanic teachings, drumming, songs, and ceremony for personal and planetary healing, including energetic practices and medicine wheel empowerments.
Maybe I've been wrong all along. Maybe there are vortices in Sedona. Not vortices of energy, but huge, roiling funnels of invisible atomic particles of bullshit. An entire city built by bullshit that attracts millions of starry-eyed, lost souls looking for... What are they looking for? What makes somebody climb on a rock and think that will straighten out their life? Or pay 10 grand to crawl into a sweatbox and discover their purpose? I don't know. But one thing I am dead certain of. If I were a wannabe Madoff, or even a small-time grifter looking for some easy scores for millions of suckers with more bread than brains, I'd get my ass to Sedona and start a scam. Because people love bullshit. They really, really do. You know, I don't recall seeing a single pizzeria there. Maybe that would be my scam. Magic Pizza. The healing power of day-old pizza crusts. Rub them on your chakras. Feel the energy and strength of the great plains where the wheat was grown to make that dough. Wheat that grew tall and proud, nurtured by Gaia. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again here at the Take No Shit Dojo. Where are we? We're located at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment, just down the road a piece from the Sinner's Sunday Chapel. By the way, Sinner's Sunday will now post on the first and third Sunday of each month for a while, instead of every single Sunday. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com and have a look at some video and images from Sedona. And while there, be sure to click that subscribe by email button. Doesn't cost a thing. We'll let you know whenever a new episode is up, so you won't miss any. Why not help us keep the lights on? Go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and pledge and get a hold of dozens of bonus episodes, signed books, custom recordings, and more. My friends, we're all on some kind of vision quest, aren't we? Trying to figure out the where's and the why's and the how's. That's what life is. And I can tell you, right now, exactly who has it all figured out. Popeye the Sailor Man. No, just kidding. Nobody knows. No fucking buddy. So just relax and have a beer. And when it's time to recycle that beer, and you hit the John, look deeply into that porcelain vortex at your toes and know that you are a part of it all. I'll see you next Tuesday, or thereabouts. And until that time, take no bullshit.